on our King, King Jesus. And the kids, the children at this time from kindergarten through sixth grade would be dismissed for children's church as they go and focus on King Jesus on this Palm Sunday. And we together will contemplate and think through Jesus as our King this day. I love that video. I've seen a couple of different versions of it. Dr. S.M. Lockridge, just a wonderful presentation of Jesus in a way that only he could be able to present him. I don't think any of us could do justice even if we tried. The Lord gifted him so well in being able to convey just how beautiful and how wonderful and how matchless our King Jesus really is. And so as we would prepare to look into the Word of God and prepare to talk about Jesus as King, let us look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do rejoice and we do give you our praise, our celebration, our applause. For King Jesus, you are worthy. Lord, what we can offer you is just the tip of the iceberg of what you deserve. And we will have all of eternity to worship you, to praise you, to adore you. And it will be a joy. Thank you for the testimony that you are real, that you are alive, and that you meet us. And for this testimony that was shared today of this brother who is with you and the reality of our hope in Christ when Jesus is King of our lives. So, Father, I pray that you would speak to our hearts this day. Holy Spirit, come even as you have led us to focus our thoughts and our praise and our worship and attention upon you. Would you now open our ears and our eyes and our hearts, both to understand what you would have to say to us, but also to be able to see ourselves for who we really are and where we're really at in relationship with you, so that we might go closer to you, and that King Jesus, it would truly be said of you that you are our King, that you are my King. So this day, would you lead us to that place? I command every spirit that would come against that work and against the knowledge of King Jesus and his rule and reign to be bound and to be silenced in the name and the authority of the name that is above every name, Jesus, so that we might hear only of you, Lord, and that Holy Spirit, you might be the only spirit active in our midst. We welcome you in Jesus' name. Amen. So King Jesus, it is one of the greatest truths, it is maybe the greatest truth that we hold on to of our faith, that Jesus rules and reigns, that he is the victorious King, that at the cross he totally set his rule and reign in motion, that he is the King of kings, he is the Lord of lords, and one day he is coming up as our coming King to rule and to reign, and that we will reign with him forever and ever and ever. Amen. Isn't that good news? We celebrate King Jesus this day. You know, in that video, he asks, I wonder, do you know him? Over and over and over, I wonder, do you know him? I believe it's another way to say, is he your King? Today, we want to talk about not just the fact that Jesus is King, but to really look and to evaluate and to allow the Spirit of God to look into our hearts and to evaluate for us as we would look into our own lives and ask the question, is he my King? And this day, as we celebrate the fact that he is King on Palm Sunday, we want to ask, we want to look over that truth, is he my King? Three thoughts this morning. The first, as we would seek to answer this question, is he your King? It will mean first for us that we would declare, and it is leading us to a place where we would declare Jesus as King. We read in Matthew chapter 21, and you can turn there if you're not already there. Matthew chapter 21, we read at the beginning of the service, Jesus intentionally sets about the process of fulfilling prophecy. In Zechariah chapter 9, it is in a section in which it is speaking of Israel's soon coming king. And Jesus, fully aware of who he was and following the lead of his Father to fulfill all scripture, all prophecy about him, sets this in motion, and he sends two of his disciples ahead of him into Jerusalem, and he says, go find a donkey and a colt. And if anybody asks, What do you want with this? What are you doing? Just say simply, the Lord needs them. Isn't that just just shows the authority and the kingship of Jesus? He doesn't have to ask because it's all his. He just simply tells his disciples, go find, there's going to be a colt and a donkey there, or a donkey and a colt, go find them and bring them to me. And if anybody asks, just say, the Lord needs them. In other the accounts, all four of the Gospels have this account in it of the triumphal entry on Palm Sunday. In some of the other accounts, it just simply says, as he was asked, a man asks, the owner says, what are you doing? The Lord needs him. And there was even no question. It was a sure. Wonderful. But Jesus fulfills the prophecy of Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, as it says in verse 4 of Matthew 21. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to the daughter of Zion, see your, what does it say? Your king. Your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt full of a donkey. So as he comes into Jerusalem, we're told in verse 8, it says, a very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Some of the other accounts say that not only did they spread the cloaks on the road and put the branches on the road, but then they also had some of those palm branches, and they are waving them as King Jesus is riding into Jerusalem, and they cry out, Hosanna, which means save us. Hosanna, save us to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And verse 10 says, when Jesus entered, everyone said, who is this? Because the king was arriving. So Jesus was intentionally fulfilling the prophecy to say and to link, I am the one who you have been waiting for. I am the one who will sit on David's kingly throne forever and ever. I am the king. And the people declare with their praises and their cries for salvation that Jesus was in fact king. You know, this is necessary for us in the process and in our declaration of salvation. If you keep your finger in Matthew 21 and turn to the book of Romans, to Romans chapter 10. Flip back a little ways, Matthew, then Mark, then Luke, John, Acts, and then Romans. To Romans chapter 10, beginning in verse 9 through verse 13. Apostle Paul explaining, how do you receive in salvation? How do you cry out and receive? When you cry out, Hosanna, save us, save me. How do you receive this salvation? Apostle Paul says this, Romans 10, beginning in verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. Understand this. This is just another way of acknowledging the kingship of Jesus. It is the rulership. It is the fact that there is no one higher. He is the King of Kings, and he is the Lord of Lords. So that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord of all, he's ruler of all, he's the King of all, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, what does it say? You might be. It says you shall or you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified or legally made right with God. And it is with your mouth and your declaration that Jesus is Lord, that he is King, that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. Verse 13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. On this Palm Sunday, our declaration of Jesus as King is our declaration and our cry to him to say, Hosanna, save us. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. That there is no one else in heaven and on earth where salvation is found. He is Savior and Lord. He is Savior and King of all. And we declare this day that he is King. In answering this question, is he your King? It starts here of declaring, yes, Jesus is my Savior. I repent and I turn to him. I trust in him and him alone for my salvation. And I trust in him and him alone to be King. He is the rightful King. He is the rightful Lord. There is no one like him. But you know, it's interesting. If you have been a follower of Jesus for a while, if you grew up in church like I did, you know how the rest of the story goes. Just a few days later, these same people who were putting their cloaks on the road, who were cutting palm branches off the trees and laying them on the road for the King to come in, who are waving them, who are calling, Hosanna, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. These same people who were crying for him to save them are the same ones who are crying, crucify him. How does that happen? How do we go from declaring Jesus as King to crying for his crucifixion just a few days later? And we could say this is the fickleness of the human heart, and certainly there is some of that, and the fickleness of the human heart of our praise. But the big reason why the people called out to him to save them and then a few days later crucify him was because they had in view what they wanted their King to do for them. They wanted him to be the kingly deliverer of the Roman occupiers and to set them free from occupation so that they would once again be a free people. They wanted the King to fulfill what they wanted him to do. But Jesus had another kind of salvation on this coming. On this coming, his focus of salvation was from the sin and our penalty that separates us from God. One day he will come back to set all things right, to fully deliver us from the presence of evil in the world. But they wanted him to do something for them. They wanted a king on their terms, not a king on his terms. You see, it is absolutely possible, and for many today, there is the declaration that Jesus is Savior and that he is King. And even if we say, yes, he is my King, there is always areas in our lives where he is not fully King, because not only do we declare Jesus as King, but we must surrender to Jesus as King of my heart. So we could declare with our mouth the fact that Jesus is King, but it's a totally different thing to surrender to the kingship, to the rule of King Jesus over our lives. And that is why the people who cried, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, were so willing a few days later to cry, crucify him, because they declared him as King, but they were not willing to surrender to him as King of their lives. Surrender is one of those scary words, isn't it? But it is one of those necessary words. It is one of those necessary realities to be able to answer the question, is he your King? Surrender to King Jesus as the ruler of my life. You see, all of us, and this is the best I can do, so you're going to have to imagine that this is really royal. All of us have a throne. All of us have a throne of our hearts. It represents who is the King of our lives. And for many of us, we sit on the throne of our hearts, and we are in charge. We're the one who rules. We're the one who reigns. We declare Jesus is King, but practically living out day by day, I live as King of my life. See, it is one thing to declare it, and it is another thing to surrender to it. To surrender the throne of our lives to King Jesus and say, Jesus, I no longer will occupy the throne of my life. I no longer am the king of my heart, of the king of my destiny. I'm no longer the captain of my ship. I relinquish, I surrender, and I welcome you to sit on the throne of my life. To answer the question, is he your king? Means not just a declaration, but it means an abdication of our rule and a surrender to Jesus as King of our lives. With our mouths, we may declare. With our hearts and with the practical living of our lives, it may be a different story. Friends, I believe that we will always be in the process of realizing that there is some rule that we need to give up. But the question becomes, have we surrendered to King Jesus? Is he on the throne? I want to take just a few minutes and walk through a short exercise with us. This is you and Jesus. This is you and King Jesus through the revelation of the Holy Spirit to say, King Jesus, are you the king of my life? And oftentimes I find that it's easy for me to say, yes, you are the king of my life. I've surrendered. But it's not until I begin to really take stock of the areas of my life that I see whether he really is the king the way I thought he was. So this is not going to be completely exhaustive, but I want to take the next few minutes and just bring to our attention 11 areas. 11 areas of life. And now this might feel like overwhelming, so here's my suggestion to you. They're going to be on the screen. You have the sermon notes that are in your bulletin. In any of these areas that the Spirit of God just kind of gives you that uneasy feeling that, ooh, I'm not quite sure about, just to write that down. Write that area down so that you can spend some time with the Lord over the next week, over the next month, just sitting before him and saying, Lord Jesus, would you show me the ways that I may not be allowing you to be the king in that area where I may be the king in that area. Does that make sense? So let's walk through this together. Here's one area, our worship and our spiritual practices. Here's some questions to think about. In the area of our worship and our spiritual practice, is worship of God a priority in your life? Now, coming to church, that is part of your worship of God. Is it a priority? But regular daily worship of God, regular daily spiritual practices of reading scripture, of prayer, of even fasting from time to time as the Lord would lead, of silence and solitude, of being alone with the Lord, of worshiping, of praising, of honoring, of glorifying him. Is worship and spiritual practices a regular priority of your life? Is it something that you look forward to? Or is it something that you do because it's what you're supposed to do? Is it from a heart of love, but I can't wait to be with Jesus? Or is it something to check off the list? See, allow those questions and the prompting of the Spirit to begin to say, yes, he is the king, and I've surrendered to him, or maybe I'm the king in that area. Here's a second area, your relationships. When it comes to your relationships with others, do you love others the way you love yourself? Are your relationships self-centered or are they others-centered? Would you consider yourself a faithful friend? Would you consider yourself being there through the thick and the thin of even inconveniencing yourself for another friend in need? Would you say that you love your enemies? Would you say that you do good to those who harm you? Would you say you bless those who curse you and pray for those who are against you? Different areas of our relationships. The answers to those questions may reveal whether we have surrendered our relationships to King Jesus or whether we are in charge. Marriage and family would be another area to evaluate yourself in. If you are married, husbands, do you love your wives like Jesus loves the church, sacrificing and giving himself for her? As Paul says in Ephesians 5. If you are married, wives, do you honor your husband? Do you submit to your husband as Christ, as if to Jesus? And if husbands and wives, you're at odds with one another, and husbands are having a hard time loving their wives like Christ loved the church, and wives are having a hard time saying, I'm not sure I can respect and submit to my husband as I would to Jesus, then maybe the bigger question is, have you submitted yourself to Christ? Because in that passage, submit yourselves to one another out of reverence for Christ. When it comes to your parents, if your parents are still alive or you're still under their household, do you honor them? Do you obey them? If you have children, do you love them? Are you raising them to love the Lord? What about that extended family? That one may get even more challenging, right? But these are all areas of relationships, and if there's a check in our spirit of, Lord, what is it for me? Are you revealing something where I'm in charge of my relationships and you are not? Another area to evaluate is our work. Do you work as to the Lord? Even if you are retired, do you work in the things that you do as to the Lord or unto men? If you are still working at a job, are you submissive to that boss? Do you view your work as sacred or as just the thing you do to make a paycheck? These are areas, these are questions that may show us who is in charge of our work. How about our time? Do we find ourselves being productive or do we find ourselves wasting time? Who's in charge of your time? Are you in charge and you get to determine what happens in a 24-hour period? Or are those 24 hours entrusted to you and God is the ruler of your time? Another area would be your gifts and your talents. Do you use your spiritual gifts? Do you use your natural talents for the Lord or for yourself? And are you faithfully serving others and the Lord in them? A couple of questions to help us to evaluate if we are king or if he is king. Our money and our possessions. Who owns your stuff? Who owns your money? Is it yours or is it God's entrusted to you? All of your possessions, your house, your cars, your toys, all of those things, are they yours or are they God's that have been entrusted to you? How about your giving? Are you faithful? Giving back to him a portion of what he has entrusted to you. Our money and our possessions begin to show us who's in charge. Leisure and hobbies, are they for escape or do they recreate you? Do you focus on them too much? Or do you get so busy being productive that you don't engage in them hardly at all? Leisure and hobbies. One we don't want to talk about so much in church, our sexuality. Is your sexuality pure? Is it within the biblical boundaries as described in scriptures? How about your thought life? Who's in charge of your sexuality? In a world charged with sexuality, it can be so easy to be the one in charge of it instead of the Lord. Two more. Emotions. How do you deal with the emotions? Are you an expresser or are you a stuffer? Do you process your feelings in a healthy way? Do you stuff them down and not deal with them and hope they go away until they force themselves out? Or do you fly off the handle? How do you deal with them? Healthy processing, even our emotions, they're God-given. Who's in charge of them? Would you say today you're mad, you're sad, you're glad, or you're afraid? Those can all be helpful descriptors for us to figure out where our emotions are at. And lastly, one last area is our care for the least of these. Do you share God's heart for those who are the poor, who are the oppressed, who are the widows and the orphans, who are the refugee or the immigrant? Do you share God's heart? Apart from all of the debates of the day, do you share God's heart for people? Do you have judgment towards people who have less? Do you have compassion? These are areas that can begin to show us who is in charge. I don't know about you, but I just find myself wanting to give easy answers. Do you ever find yourself doing that? Of just wanting to say, yes, I have surrendered to Jesus. But it gets a lot more personal when I begin to evaluate the breadth of my life and evaluate all the areas of my life to find out really, is Jesus in charge or am I? I can say that probably with certainty in all 11 of those areas, in some way, shape, or form, I would love to say that Jesus is king completely over all 11 areas of my life. But to be honest, there are areas of each of those where I'm still working through surrendering the throne to Jesus. It's not really what you want to hear on Palm Sunday, is it? But I believe it's what we need to hear. Because it's one thing to say he is the king, and it's the other thing for him to actually be the king. You know, we sang earlier, last song, King of My Heart. That the King of My Heart be the one who is my guide, the one who leads me, the one who's in charge of me, essentially is what the song says. And then there's that refrain that we sang over and over and over again. You are good, you are good. Oh, you are good. There's that part, you're never going to let me down. But it's anchored in this reality that you are good. You see, in order to surrender to Jesus as king, and not just declare him to be king, but to truly surrender to him as king, we have to trust the goodness of Jesus as king. See, surrender can be a scary struggle because it involves trusting the goodness of God. It involves trusting that if we surrender to Him, that He has our good in mind. You know, down through history, there have been very few rulers who truly existed and ruled for the good of those they ruled over. Would you agree with that? The brokenness of the human condition leads people, when they're in positions of power, to use it for their own benefit in some way, shape, or form. And the more evil and the more corrupt the ruler, the worse it gets for those who are under that rule. And so in our humanness, we are skeptical of surrendering to a leader, surrendering to a king, because of the question, is he good? Friends, I believe all we have to do is look to the end of this week, to look to Good Friday, when our King showed and demonstrated his goodness in laying down his life on a brutal cross, enduring one lash shy of what would have killed a man, and then carrying that cross as far as he could to where he would be nailed to it, to where he would hang for approximately 6 hours, naked, jeered at, ridiculed, abandoned by almost all. And that was just the physical part. But to have the sin of the world, of sin of humanity laid upon him, and the wrath of God poured out upon him, and for him to willingly, even though he could call down a legion of angels and be removed from that cross and not go forward with it, even though he did all of that, he hung there and he did what we needed him to do, willingly laying down his life. Would you agree our King is good? If we ever doubt that he is good, all we have to do is look to the cross. For any king who would do that for those who would follow him, we can trust him. We can trust his goodness. Because let's be honest, surrender has some pain to it, doesn't it? Surrender means there are going to be areas that we may not have in our lives anymore. Surrender means there may be changes that we are going to have to make. Surrender means I'm not in control anymore, and I like to be in control. To allow someone else to call the shots in my life and to follow and not always know where I'm going can be a scary thing. Can be a painful thing. But yet our King is a good King who laid down his life so we might follow and find life in him. So I wonder, is he your King? Can you both declare that he is King, that he is Lord of all? And are you willing to surrender to King Jesus? To give up the throne of your life so that he might take his rightful place and be the King of your heart? Reminded, and I love the book and the story of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe by C.S. Lewis. And as the children venture through Narnia, they come across Mr. and Mrs. Beaver, How many of you have read and are familiar with The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, C.S. Lewis? It's that point in the story where they come across Mr. and Mrs. Beaver, and Mr. and Mrs. Beaver give them, you know, hospitality in their home. They feed them a meal, and they explain what has happened, why Narnia is covered in snow, why it was so cold, why there was so much suffering, so much evil, so much pain. Then they speak of Aslan, the lion, the king. And Susan, one of the children, one of the youngest, as she was told by Mr. Beaver, Aslan is a lion. The lion, the great lion, Susan responds by saying, "Ooh, I thought he was a man." And she says, because in reference to the fact that he is a lion, she asks the question, is he quite safe? For I shall feel rather nervous about meeting a lion. Mr. Beaver replies, safe? Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he's good. And he's the king, I tell you. He's good. See, our king, Jesus, is the Lion of Judah, the lamb who was slain. He's not always safe, which means sometimes surrender seems risky. But oh, he is good. And oh, he will never let you down, as we sang this morning. It's true. Those words are true. Because he's good. So as you look at this chair representing a throne, who's on it? Is King Jesus sitting on the throne of your life? Or are you? Because we don't want to be people that just declare he's king. Trusting his goodness, we want to surrender to him as king. Father in heaven, we thank you.